You all know what today is, don't you? Yes, it's today is Chinese New Year's Eve. So, Tom, it's time for another Chinese lesson. We need to be able to say Happy New Year in Chinese. So, just very simply, 新年快乐. 新年快乐. 新 is new, 年 is year. So 新年, and then 快乐 is happy. So 新年快乐. Okay, we'll stop there. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn again, we're just looking at one verse, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And this is in the ESV translation. But just this one verse, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. What a great verse of Scripture this is, as we have been studying through the book of Galatians. And we started this last Sunday, and because of we had so much other, we did not finish the sermon, so I'm going to try to do that today. And just quickly, a review of what we talked about last week. First of all, the sermon title is Born for Freedom. Some preachers just had it Born Free, but I like Born for Freedom because I believe it expresses the idea that Paul is saying here. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Because all of us were originally born in sin and we were in slavery to sin. But when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are set free. So we are born for freedom. We talked about Elsa the lion, who was an orphaned lion cub and raised by Joy and George Adamson in Kenya. Then when she got full grown, they realized that something had to be done. Some people said, you need to put her in a zoo. But Joy said, no, she was born for freedom, born free. And so many of you probably have seen that movie, Born Free. And so they retrained Elsa so that she could be set free there in Africa to live the life that she was born for freedom. And we talked about the battle for freedom last week because our verse, our text this morning says, Christ has set us free. How did he do that? He set us free by the death that he died on the cross of Calvary that we might be liberated and delivered from sin. Freedom always comes at a price. We talked about the Revolutionary War or the War for Independence, where 217,000 fought and 4,435 died. Or the Civil War, where there were over 3 million who fought on both sides, the Union and the Confederates. And 191,963 died for freedom, freedom from slavery. And then there's the battle for spiritual freedom. Our text today says Christ has set us free. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:36, therefore if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus Christ came into this world for one purpose, and that was to set us free. Because ever since the Garden of Eden, we were in bondage and slavery to sin. I quoted or read two scriptures, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and I'll just read those quickly and then we'll go on to the rest of the sermon. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting or suitable for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And so Jesus Christ, in order to liberate us, to bring us to glory, to help us escape the condemnation of sin and death, He suffered on the cross of Calvary. Hebrews 2, verses 14 through 18. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, He does not give aid to angels, but He does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted. And so Jesus Christ came into this world to deliver us from the power of sin, from the power of Satan, and to give us freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. The freedom that only comes because of God's marvelous grace. And thank you, Richard, for those great hymns that we sang this morning. Oh, Can It Be? One of the great hymns of the church. And yet, I grew up not knowing that hymn. And I can remember as we were getting ready to go to Taiwan, my wife's parents, Brother Ms. J.M. Stringer, living at Mineola, Texas at the time, they had a record, a 78 RPM record of the Melody Four Quartet. And on that record was that hymn, Oh, Can It Be? And if you go and read those verses, it's a hymn of freedom for us as God's children. We've been set free. The chains have been broken. And we have freedom in Christ. Christ has set us free. Because freedom, liberty, is worth fighting for. Our founding fathers understood this truth. Freedom was worth fighting for. Abraham Lincoln in the Civil War understood that freedom was worth fighting for. That slavery is a despicable thing. And those in bondage to slavery deserve to be set free. March 23rd, 1775, a 39-year-old patriotic attorney spoke these words. If we wish to be free, we must fight. I repeat it, sir, we must fight. An appeal to arms and to the God of hosts is all that is left us. It is vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. The gentleman may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war has actually begun. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. And I'm sure all of you have already guessed that that was the word spoken by Patrick Henry. A soul-stirring speech. And yes, whether it is physical or spiritual freedom, we need to be ready to fight. Jesus came into this world for one purpose, to fight the battle for our freedom for us, because we were helpless. We were in bondage to Satan. Satan, because of our sin, had the power of death over us. But Jesus Christ came to set us free. And today, Paul is writing this letter to the Galatians Christians. And he is telling them this message, that freedom, liberty, is precious. Whether it's our physical liberty or spiritual liberty, it's worth fighting for. We must preserve that victory that our Lord and Savior has already won. Point number two in this sermon outline, the goal of the battle. Paul says here, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Freedom is the goal. When our founding fathers started out in the Revolutionary War, there were perhaps multiple reasons for that battle and that war that was fought. Freedom from unjust taxation, freedom from unjust rule by a king and parliament that was across the ocean that did not understand and sympathize with the problems of those here in the colonies. But it was a war worth fighting. Or the Civil War, freedom for the slaves across the South. And on January the 1st, 1863, Abraham Lincoln released the Emancipation Proclamation, freed all the slaves in the 10 Confederate states that were then in rebellion. For that proclamation to become effective, it had to result in a terrible war between the states and hundreds of thousands of lives lost, bloodshed, families separated, but for freedom, for freedom. So freedom here in America, we understand that it is precious. It's something worth holding on to. And for many of us, we can see here in America that there seems to be a gradual erosion of the freedoms that have been bought and paid for at such a terrible price. There seems to be a power grab on the part of many in the government to gain control over our lives, to give less freedom to the people, all in the name of being fair to everyone, redistribution of wealth. They know what's best for you and for me. And so there's a lot at stake in our next election. I don't usually interject politics into my sermons, and I'll not get personal with it. But what's at stake is freedom. But back to the spiritual side of it. The goal of Christ's death on the cross of Calvary was simply to set us free. Again, John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And then John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. That was Paul's message here in the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians is the Magna Carta of Christian freedom. And it's worth every single one of God's children reading this book over and over again, and pray that God will indelibly stamp the truths that Paul is teaching us by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 2:4. And this occurred because the false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. You see, at the church at Galatia, the Judaizers had come from Jerusalem. Paul had preached the message of grace by faith in Jesus Christ to deliver us from the bondage of the Old Testament laws. We were now free. But the Judaizers' goal is to return the Galatian Christians back to bondage. Galatians 5:1, again, our text today, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And what this teaches us is that one of the curses of the church is the curse of legalism that is always in danger of creeping back into the church and overtaking us and bringing us and dragging us down once again into bondage. Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. We've been called to liberty in Christ Jesus. We've been made free. Point number three, the threats to our freedom. Paul says here in Galatians 5:1, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Going back to Elsa the lion. She had regained her freedom. She had gone back into the wild. But then someone captures her and takes her and places her in a zoo. She was born for freedom, but she's now back in captivity. And that's sad. I told you last week that I really can't enjoy going to the zoo anymore because I think of the freedom that all of those animals deserve. And I know that zoos have their place. Don't get mad at me, kids. But the zoos are a good thing. But I can't help thinking about that they were born for freedom. They're God's creatures. But I need for all of us to remember that we were born for freedom through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The threats to our freedom. For the Galatian Christians, there was the Galatian era. The Judaizers who had come there to Galatia. And the Galatian Christians had heard the gospel from the Apostle Paul. By the grace of God, they had believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They were free. They were given their freedom from sin and bondage. They were free. And then the Judaizers come in and they start preaching their doctrine that, yes, Jesus is okay. You need to believe in Him. But also you need to be circumcised. You need to keep the law of Moses in order to keep your salvation. And so, for us Christians today, I think that there are two threats, two extreme positions that are threats to our Christian liberty and freedom. The first is legalism, and the second is license. And I'm not sure we're going to have time to get to the license part. But all of these have, both of these have existed since New Testament times. Neither is biblically correct. Both are devastating to the cause of Christ. On the extreme right, you have legalism. On the extreme left, you have license. But between legalism and license, you have the way that God has given us, liberty. Liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want us to look quickly at this problem, this threat to Christian liberty of legalism. You have the Judaizers at Galatia. They had been set free through the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul had preached. Now there was a threat that they were going to be taken back into bondage. A different kind of bondage. A bondage to keeping rules and regulations and laws that were found in the law of Moses. I told you last week about growing up in our family library, we had the book about Frank Buck. Have any of you read the book about Frank Buck? No? No, my goodness. What's the world coming to? Anyway, Frank Buck was a big game hunter, but his occupation was going to Africa and going to Southeast Asia and capturing wild animals. He would get orders from zoos and he'd go there and he would capture them. And I can tell you stories in the book, from the book, but I'll not do that today. But he was going there to places where animals were born free. And they were born for freedom. To capture them, to bring them back to America or to Europe and to place them in zoos there to be captive the rest of their lives. And Paul is saying to the Galatian Christians, these Judaizers, they want to capture you once again for their doctrine, and they want to put you back in bondage and slavery. Let's look at some verses in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Then Galatians 3, 1. O foolish great Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Then Galatians 4:11, I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Then Galatians 4, verses 20 and 21, I would like to be present with you and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? You say, Paul, throughout the book of Galatians, is expressing his concern and his fear for the Galatian Christians that they were departing from the truth and the freedom that they had received through faith in Christ, and that they were returning once again to bondage. And I have said again, we are never removed from the fear or the threat of legalism. It can happen today. It can happen in our churches. It can happen among Christians today. In fact, it is in the Christian world still very prevalent, the idea, the doctrine, the practice of legalism. We could talk about those churches who believe in salvation through ritual and through sacraments. We could talk about those churches who still practice seventh day or Sabbath worship, and they still hang on to many of the things of the Old Testament and the Old Testament law in order to preserve, to gain and to preserve their salvation. Or those churches who practice and believe salvation through external acts of baptism and observing the Lord's Supper. These are all different expressions of legalism that can happen. But even in evangelical churches, those who preach and practice salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, we need to be careful lest we also fall into the pitfall of legalism. Anything, whether for salvation or for sanctification, anything that we feel that we have to do in order to be holy before God and to be the kind of people God wants us to be, is legalism. In fact, let me give you a definition of legalism. In Christianity, legalism is the excessive and proper use of the law, meaning the Ten Commandments, holiness laws, etc. This legalism can take different forms. The first is where a person attempts to keep the law in order to attain salvation. Now, that's an outright heresy, and we certainly all know that, but it's still practiced today. The second is where a person keeps the law in order to maintain his salvation. And that is the more subtle form of legalism, but it happens throughout America and throughout evangelical Christian churches and Christian people, where we get sucked into the trap of thinking that we have to keep certain rules and regulations and forms and standards in order to please God and to be the people that we should be. The third is when a Christian judges other Christians for not keeping certain codes of conduct that he thinks need to be observed. In other words, I've got these standards in my mind that a Christian has got to live by, whether dress or conduct or whatever. And I'm constantly... I better stay away from that. Anything that involves my wife, I better be quiet, right? Anyway, I lost my train of thought. That's terrible. So I'll pick on Richard. He's a good target. Have you noticed the tie he's wearing today? That's a Rush Limbaugh tie. That has political implications that we shouldn't bring into church. It's loud. It's ungodly. Now my tie is a holy tie. I wore this tie on my 50th wedding anniversary celebration. That's ridiculous, isn't it? Amen. Now see, Richard admits it. Well, let me go just a little bit further. Many of you have heard about Elizabeth Elliot. She was married to Jim Elliot, and he was martyred there in South America, preaching the gospel to the Aka Indians. And then she later went there to the Aka Indians. And anyway, she's a godly, great Christian woman. And she wrote a little book entitled The Liberty of Obedience. And in that little book, she tells a story about a young man who was eager to forsake the world and follow Christ closely. And so he asks himself the question, what is it I must forsake in order to be a true, faithful disciple of Jesus Christ? And so Elizabeth Elliot records the following response, and in doing so, she illustrates the foolishness of trying to please God by keeping man-made rules and legalistic regulations. And here is what this young man wrote that he needed to do. Colored clothes, for one thing. Get rid of everything in your wardrobe that is not white. Stop sleeping on a soft pillow. Sell your musical instruments and don't eat any more white bread. You cannot, if you're sincere about obeying Christ, take warm baths or shave your beard. To shave is to lie against Him who created us, to attempt to improve on His work. Does that answer sound absurd? It certainly does. But then, Elizabeth Elliot surprises us with this statement. It is the answer given in the most celebrated Christian schools of the second century. Is it possible that the rules that have been adopted by many 20th century Christians will sound as absurd to earnest followers of Christ a few years hence? In other words, we need to understand that we have freedom in Christ. We have liberty, and not be overtaken by the treachery of legalism, because legalism is subtle. Look at Galatians 2:4 again. Paul said, and this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. So here you have these people who sneak in, who come by stealth to come into the congregation of the Galatian Christians and secretly begin to spread their doctrine of salvation by Christ plus circumcision and works, obeying the law of Moses. We need to be careful that it does not happen to us. Let me tell you an illustration. When we first went to Taiwan, we did a lot of Sunday schools just out on the streets. Gather kids together and have a Sunday school. And you could just gather a good crowd of children there. And one of the methods that we used, we had these picture cards that you used, and they were pretty good sized, and the children could see the pictures, and then you had on the back of the cards written the story that you were to tell. And I remember one of those stories on those picture cards. And I'm sure they didn't intend it to be used as a lesson about legalism. But that's what I'm going to use it for. And in that story, it was a master and his camel. And when it came evening, time to go to bed at night, the master had his tent. And the master was sleeping in his tent, and the camel was outside the tent. But in the next picture, the camel had stuck his head inside the tent. Well, that was still all right, you know, still room for the master. In the next picture, the camel had his head and his front legs inside the tent. And the master is shoved over to the outside, the very edge of the tent. And in the final picture, it showed the camel all the way inside the tent and the master outside the tent. That's what legalism will do to a church if we're not careful. We will be carried back into bondage. Because legalism is not only subtle, but it is subversive. Subversive means to overthrow, to cause downfall, ruin, or destruction. So legalism, the legalists come in by infiltration. Galatians 2:4 again, who came in by stealth. We know the stories and we've seen movies where in World War II, the German soldiers would dress in American uniforms. They had impeccable English and they would infiltrate the American lines in order to defeat what they considered their enemy. And so we have to be careful lest those who teach doctrines other than the pure doctrines of grace and salvation by faith in Christ alone. We need to be careful. Well, I told you I'm going to have to forget about the license part. The proper exercise of salvation is liberty. Galatians 2:19, for I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. You see, we were born for freedom. We were born as Christians into the family of God for liberty. Galatians 5:13, for you brethren have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty for an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Now certainly we would not say that liberty means the absence of laws. The Constitution of the United States promises its citizens liberty. But that does not give us license to break its laws. We can never enjoy, as Americans, true freedom without laws and some restrictions on our freedoms and activities. But if every man does that which is right in his own eyes, the result is eventual anarchy. Judges 21:25. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Or we only have to look today at the Occupy Wall Street protesters. An example of pure license. Flaunting and breaking the laws of cities and of the nation. But true Christian liberty comes when we are indwelt and filled by the Holy Spirit. And that is what produces holiness in us. 1 Peter 1:16, be ye holy as I am holy. And that's God's purpose for every single one of His children, that we be holy like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is going to happen when we are born again by the power of the Spirit of God. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And it is the Spirit of God in us. When we're born again, we have the nature, the likeness of God through Jesus Christ in our hearts. And Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Against such there is no law. You see, against such there is no. When we're filled by the Spirit of God, we're moved like wind in the sails of a ship. The wind of the Spirit moves into our hearts and drives us, motivates us, moves us to serve Christ. And thus our life begins to express the fruits of the Holy Spirit because He indwells us. That's God's purpose. That's God's plan. That's God's method. Not through external rules and laws and regulations that somebody has said I need to obey or follow. I need to have God's nature and God's love and God's purpose and God's Spirit living in me. And then I will have true Christian freedom and liberty. Rules, regulations, and laws are all external. And that's not God's way. But when the Holy Spirit comes, then holiness is internalized. And because the Holy Spirit is in me, I live out that liberty in Christ Jesus. Because He lives in me, His goals, His purposes, His desires are my desires and my goals and my purposes, so that I can truly be free. So in conclusion, I just read our text again. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Paul says, stand firm, stand fast, plant your feet, know what you believe, know in whom you believe. Know that you have liberty and freedom in Christ. And do not let anyone intimidate you or drag you back into bondage or to slavery. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the wonderful freedom and liberty we have in Christ. Thank you that He is your Son. He died for us. And He has truly set us free. Father, if there's a person here today who has never believed in Jesus as their personal Savior, I pray that your Spirit would draw and convict them and help them to trust you today as their salvation. And if there are those who are being dragged back into bondage and slavery, whether through sin or through rules and laws and regulations that are unbearable, I pray that you would help them today to trust you, to follow you, to be obedient to you, and to find freedom in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Richard.